CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm speaking with Georgiana Shea, the chief technologist at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're speaking of a vulnerability of software because it's built around open source code, 70-75% of it, and what is to be done. Georgiana, I read in your report, July 12, 2021, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, NTIA, issued guidelines for the minimum elements for an SBOM, in other words, an analysis of what you've got. And you report these guidelines are an essential first step. Is that underway now?
Yes. I believe they are responding to it. It's getting traction within DOD, within their acquisition process, building and testing. As for industry as a whole, I don't have my pulse on what everyone's doing, but I do know that since the papers come out, I've had a number of people reach out to me and they are very interested in it.
We come to your recommendations. Continue to refine SBOM guidance. This is followed from the logic you just had. You're not sure that everybody's doing it, but did you set, is this a new standard that's being set?
Is it new? So an SBOM is not new. A bill of materials is not new. Requiring it may be new. Going through and identifying the uniform format will be new. There's already acceptable ways to do it, but people do it differently. And if they're not compatible, then it really doesn't help. So there has to be, you know, standards around the SBOM and how you format it, what's included so that they're interchangeable. Changeable, and you can transfer them from organization to organization, and that they're usable.
You recommend that the SBOMs be machine readable and monitored continuously. This sounds like an additional expense, is it?
Well, so machine readable, usually in software development, nobody's writing anything down by hand. It's going to be in some type of, you know, software capability. So a software bill of materials is a list of all of those software components, those underlying software packages within the software, that the code pieces. And you could just list those in Excel, but that is not a high integrity form of capturing data. It could easily be, misrepresented, or it could be spelled wrong, or the naming could be wrong. So if you have that machine readable, so that you're not depending on a person to go through and hand jam this information into a system, it actually becomes more efficient and more cost saving. So you don't have that human in the loop going through and compromising the integrity and having that labor piece involved in it.
What is zero trust concept and architecture and design principle?
Well, so zero trust is kind of what it sounds like. Not having the trust of the related systems around it, in this case, software. So in zero trust, there's a couple of tenets. One is, enterprise monitors and measures the integrity and security posture of owned and associated assets. So that should be applied to your software as well. You should also know the integrity and security posture of all of your software, not just your enterprise and the network and the computer, but the software itself. Another one of the tenets, the enterprise collects as much information as possible about the current state of the asset, network infrastructure, and communication, and uses that to improve the security posture. Again, you could apply that principle to software. You should know as much about the software as possible and use that to improve the security posture.
Your second recommendation, help the private sector understand and adopt SBOM. Is that now in train because of the executive order? Has that started?
I don't know if it started or not. I've been in a couple of discussions with some DOD programs that are going through and developing systems, and they're interested in, okay, what exactly should be in an SBOM? What kind of contract language should we have in the contracts to require, format of the SBOM, fields of the SBOM, the analysis of the SBOM? So I've seen it taking off, but I don't know how widespread that is right now. So for a U.S. recommendation, then there should be those more publicly available points of contact and capabilities for working groups to go through and collaborate on this type of information.
Move toward requiring, this is your third recommendation, SBOMs in all relevant government contracts. That is not yet mandated, but this system recommends we have hygiene, you don't. So human nature would move towards SBOM analysis, correct?
You would think so. And it's not just the analysis of the security posture, but having contracts for the development of software, there's usually requirements within what you have to do and what you have to do to be compliant within the software. So by having an SBOM, that tool that you can go through and incorporate continuous monitoring, it gives you, as the consumer of the software, the purchaser of the software, a tool to ensure, compliance of what your requirements are.
Some of the agencies that you're recommending continuously monitor and share vulnerability information or conduct an intelligence review of SBOM, these are organizations that depend upon security. I see the DIA is mentioned. So is that underway, to your knowledge? Is that beginning now that they look through all of their software?
I don't know specifically what they are doing. I do know that I mentioned DIA because they have an organization there, the TAC, the Threat Analysis Center, that goes through and looks at critical components of systems that are being developed. And they may say, this component, this widget, we don't recommend that you use it in this weapon system or the satellite or whatever it is you're building because of whatever intelligence they may have based on the associations of the company developing it. I don't think they get into the level of the software. Like, okay, this particular software, it's a little more difficult. It should be reviewed. The analysis should be done. I don't know of a DoD agency that's, really embraced this and has, gone through and started doing that type of in-depth analysis. The way the contracting world works is DoD will contract with an organization. We want you to build this software that does this functionality. That contract company then provides the software. So what happens behind the curtain of that company that's being contracted to, they're building it. They're going through and pulling together 75% of open source software in some cases and putting together the whole package and then just handing the package to DoD, and the package as a whole might be reviewed and tested for functionality and does it have any known vulnerabilities associated with it, but no real in-depth analysis and scrutiny of those, second tier provider, third tier provider, code developers.
Georgiana, I ask a general question because I read from the outside. Would the software bill of materials help to deal in solving some of the hacks that we've heard about from Washington over these years? Going back to the OPM hack that was revealed slowly, and then we've mentioned SolarWind, and there are others that I can't list now. Is this moving a step towards security, SBOM?
Absolutely. So there's always a lot of steps that are taken in, in cybersecurity. There's an initiative right now, the incident response, reporting the attack. I feel very passionate about, before the attack happens, get to the left of the attack, before it's able to take root, before the adversaries can get into the system. And right now, the easiest way to get into the system is through the supply chain. So if you can stop the adversaries getting into the systems at the supply chain, then you mitigate the effects, the compromise, and all those other types of attacks.
Many years ago, there was the witticism that the Kremlin was so certain that it was being penetrated that they'd gone to IBM Selectrix and carbon copies. To your knowledge, is that happening in Washington, or are they still trusting that they can find and solve the cybersecurity?
I can't speak for all of Washington, but I can tell you that usually when I talk to people and we get into discussions about cybersecurity, people's first reaction is talk about the protections. Let's go through and put the protections into the system. My thought is, okay, well, let's just build a resilient system and let's make sure what we're building with is secure. So you start from that zero trust and you build something secure from known secure pieces. One of the points I made in the paper is that there's a cybersecurity framework, the NIST cybersecurity framework, and it's got the identify, protect, detect, respond, restore steps that all organizations should be looking at. And the identify piece of the framework usually gets ignored or taken for granted or not much effort's put into that. So you really can't protect what you don't know you have.
Right.
One of the other uses of an SBOM would be in incorporated it to your defensive cyber operations capabilities. So if you know all of the component software, now when you hear something on the news that the Orion platform has been compromised with SolarWinds, you might not know that you have an Orion platform in your enterprise. You may not know you have SolarWinds in your enterprise, but by keeping track of all those components, when you hear about the news of the late breaking, you know, latest hack, you can then immediately go through and determine, am I affected by this?
Georgiana Shea, Chief Technologist, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.